Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Restita and Robert, your source for martial arts talk radio.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
Happy holiday season. Welcome to Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. It is Sunday, December 18th, and our phone number here is 347-677-0699. It's our Sunday brunch show. It's our holiday episode. And as always, I am joined here at the helm by my brother in the martial arts and esteemed co-host, Sifu Robert Deal. Hey, Bob, how's it going over there?
Hey.
Colder California.
Sunny. It is cold right now. I mean, not that cold right now. It's only 46, but about a couple hours ago when I left the house, it was like 36 degrees. So it was cold this morning for SoCal.
Yeah, for SoCal. That's crazy. Oh my goodness.
So what a week I had.
Oh, tell us about your week.
So I went to a wedding last night. My niece's wedding, my brother's daughter. She's 30 years old.
Uh-huh.
And what really sucked is that I realized, and this is where I get I was getting an old thing going. I was feeling really old yesterday because my 30-year-old niece was getting married and my sister-in-law was pregnant with her at my wedding.
See, yeah, that kind of puts perspective on that, doesn't it?
It does. And my 35-year-old niece was there. She has two kids. They're almost grown. And she was my 5-year-old flower girl.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way when my nieces, like, you know, talk to me on the phone and stuff. And I'm like, what, wait, somebody's in their last year of college already? What? You're not supposed to grow up.
I know, right? It's like, oh, my God. So
I'm supposed to still hold your hand when you cross the street.
I know, anyway. Right? I try to do that with my daughter, and she wants nothing to do with that. So I dropped the girls off last night. I go out for a little while. Nobody told me my daughter wasn't home when I got home. She was visiting a friend that was back from New York for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
I locked the door.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So she couldn't get in.
Knocking. So she couldn't get in. It's 2 in the morning. She's there knocking. She didn't knock long enough because she woke me up because of the deep REM sleep I was in. I thought I was dreaming because she stopped knocking. Now, if she would have knocked one more time, I would have gotten up to answer the door.
So
she texted me and tries to call me at 2 in the morning, and I wasn't answering the phone, and my wife's phone was off. So she had to stay with a friend of hers house about 3 blocks from here.
That sucks.
She's not really too thrilled with me right now, but I'm used to it by now. So, you know, driving for Lyft and Uber this time of year sometimes sucks, sometimes not, sometimes does, because everybody's going to freaking LAX airport.
Right.
Los Angeles International Airport is absolutely insane. I only gave 5 rides yesterday because I had the wedding and all that. 3 of them were to LAX. First ride today, LAX. Now, yesterday, I get called, and I guess there aren't a lot of drivers out. So I get called, this girl's 22 minutes from me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, damn. So I go get her, and I said, 22 minutes? And she said, yeah, I'm sorry. And I said, I am going to mess with you all the way down to the airport now. And she says, I understand. And she goes to get in the back seat because most common place is people get in the back seat. They still think you're a cab, but it's okay with me if you sit in my front seat. And I looked at her and I said, what are you? So she goes to get in the back and I said, what are you doing? And she goes, what? I said, you get your ass in the front seat.
She's freaking okay.
Yeah, I know, right? So I abused her all the way down to the airport.
That's okay. That doesn't sound right.
And she still
Anyhow.
Gave me a $9 tip.
that still doesn't sound right.
I know. It's like every time I say I picked up a hooker yesterday. They don't get that either. But no, I abused her verbally all the way down in a nice way, though, and she still gave me $9.
Oh, that's, you know, it's, you know, kudos to people for having a great sense of humor and stuff like that. I just want to remind our listeners about our phone number. Our phone line's open at about 11:30. Our phone number is 347-677-0699. However, if you don't want to call, we do have a, I guess I should bring up the chat board on the Blog Talk Radio show.
Yes.
Marky. Yeah, let me do that real quick. Launch the chat board, Rusty. Here we go. All right, let's see. Go, go, go. Go, Gadget, go. All right, so our chat board is up. So if
God.
You don't want to, if you, I know I just gave away my age, but if you don't want to call, you can go ahead and type in the chat board. Or if you found our episode on Facebook, and I just posted the link on my personal profile page right when we aired, you can type any comments and stuff like that there. So, or if you just want to listen to the show and don't have a computer, you can just give us a call and listen. But our phone lines won't open to the public technically until about 11:30. All right, it's our holiday brunch show, and let's get started. But let's go ahead and finish up with Seafood Bob's week. Week in California.
So my wife and I danced for the first time in many years last night.
Oh, cool.
It was very cold. It was an outside wedding. The ceremony did not last that long. I think my ceremony was about an hour and a half. This ceremony was about maybe 20 minutes total.
Uh-huh.
And it was cold. So they pulled out the heaters, and a friend of mine that I've known for like 40 years was there with his wife. One's a sheriff, one's a school teacher. And he called me a wuss for giving up my jacket. I put my jacket up to my wife, but we were right under a heater. I said, dude, I wasn't going to, but you ended up giving your jacket to your wife, and your wife was nagging me to give my jacket to my wife. So it's your fault.
Now, why didn't they bring a jacket?
That was the question of the night. She brought a little shawl, and that was it.
Oh.
And it was freezing. It wasn't just cold last night. It was windy with a chill factor that would just go right through you.
Oh, I hear you.
It was just cold. Bless you. So that was it. My son flaked on the wedding, which I was livid over. Oh, my God. The wedding starts at 5. I get a text at 4:30 saying, oh, I forgot to tell you. I've got to work tonight. I was going to bring Ashley, but she doesn't want to go without me. So they don't understand. When you RSVP for a wedding, those people order the number of dinners.
Exactly.
For the RSVP.
Exactly.
So you stuck your uncle with two dinners, and now he has to pay for, and you're not showing up for.
Right.
Oh, I was mad.
Yeah.
I was angry. And it's like,
See
the next time you need a babysitter, see what happens.
Right, right.
Friday night, he shows up to my wife's work, unannounced, at 5:45. I said, oh, by the way, Mom, we need you to watch the baby tonight. Oh, by the way, it's also a sleepover. So you've got to watch her all night. And, by the way, they show up at 11 o'clock yesterday morning to pick up the baby.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was going to make a comment about young parents and grandparents being taken for granted and stuff like that. Now, when my sister had her first, well, both my nieces, there were two sets of grandparents and well, my mom and Thomas's parents, and you know, they were really, really good about giving as much notice as possible, and if one grandparent wasn't available, than the other grandparents would be, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the
right.
the least amount of time that either side got was 2 days. There was no surprise. Planning was available and stuff like that, you know. But see, we could plan with 2 days' notice, not like 10 minutes, you know.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's kind of tough because, yeah.
Right, right. Well, but the bad thing is we're the only ones they can trust. They have no other option. If
that sucks.
Her mother isn't available and her sister isn't available, we're it, and they don't trust her sister or her mother, really. But in a bind, they will.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so there is
bad.
No – I know, and that is a real drag.
It is.
That
it is.
We're
but,
it.
You know,
but I love
that
baby.
You and Jen are like the cool grandparents.
That's right. Especially
that's
when
right.
I fill her up on sugar when she's old enough. Because you went – I don't know if you – yes, you did. You went into Id Sugar with us.
Yeah.
At City Walk that one time?
Yeah.
When I told Brandon, I'm going to fill her up when she's old enough, take her in sugar, and then hand her back and say, oh, by the way, she's going to bed in about a week and a half.
Yeah. You know, so for all our listeners that have no idea what It's Sugar is at City Walk, it's a store with just sugar, basically. I mean, it's candy.
Candy. Oh, yeah.
Candy up to your eyeballs. It's crazy. I mean, I started going into, you know, shock, you know, physical shock just being in that store because there was just so much sugar. It was just, it
and
made
I sent
me
you.
Ill.
I remember sending you one time. My wife and I, and I think my daughter was in there, and they have some of the most inappropriate names for candy in that place. And I was sending
yeah.
you pictures. Now,
right.
I didn't
like,
even share those
that?
On the air.
No. I was like, what is that? Well, I mean, I know what it is, but what is that?
Oh, it was the most horrible name.
Oh,
I was laughing
yeah.
my ass off, though.
That was
the one I sent to you.
Yeah, that's it was pretty funny. But, yeah, it's sugar. I mean, you know, we've got candy stores over here in Seattle and stuff, but none that big. And none with, like, Bit of Honey, you know, bars about as big as a desk. I mean, it's, you know. It's like,
right. Remember those? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is huge.
I mean, it was, like, as big as a side table, not a desk. But, you know, still, I mean, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a lot of sugar.
But I'm not paying $50 for a candy bar.
No, absolutely not. Oh, my goodness. Well, listeners, it is our holiday show. It is open mic. We want to hear how you're celebrating the holidays. We want to know how you're going to be spending your New Year's. So in about 15, 20 minutes or so, depending on how we get through this first section, we're going to open up our phone lines, and you are welcome to give us a call at 347-677-0699. And when you call at 11:30 or so, just press 1 to let us know that you want to talk live with us and join the party. All right, well, let's get on with the show. Looks like we have some birthdays. Who do you have for birthdays there, Sifu Bob?
I actually don't have many this week. I have two. On the 23rd of the month, it's Sifu Clark Tang's birthday, owner and Sifu of the Wing Chun Temple in Long Beach, California. And on the 24th, Christmas Eve, it's Grandmaster Frank Trejo's birthday.
Oh, right on. Very cool. Let's see, I've got a few as well. Today, the 18th, we got Sifu Chris Bennett. His birthday's today. And I want to send a shout-out to an early birthday shout-out because hopefully I won't forget. My older sister living in Texas, Marcy Crum, her birthday is January 15th. I know it's next month, and I'm just going to make a big deal of it. Until next month. Yesterday was Sifu Charles Shepherd's birthday. So happy birthday to him. We sent him a cute little happy birthday video. Who else do we got here? Let's see. Oh, we've got Tuesday the 20th, Irene Dulai, who is a parent of one of my junior's kung fu students. My cousin also on the 20th, Jocelyn Ventura. on the 20th. And we've also got, who else do we got here? A former student of mine on the 22nd, Buzz Fleming. Really, that's his name, Buzz. Well, no, he's got a different first name. I forgot what it is, but Buzz is his nickname because he was an electrician.
Oh, nice.
All right. Also, on the 23rd, Friday the 23rd, we've got Sensei Nikki Smith, a judo black belt. And Saturday the 24th, Christmas Eve. Who do we got here? I have nobody. And I think that's it. So for everyone having a birthday between today and Christmas Eve, this tune is for you.
I wanna wish you a happy birthday. I wanna help you celebrate. I wanna wish you lots of presents. I wanna help you eat your cake. Bossy, bossy, bossy in the island way. You'll be jamming all night till the light of day. Your birthday is your day to shine. Another year and you'll be looking fine. So have a no worries, don't you hesitate.
Doki, make it a great birthday week, everyone. All right. Announcements for this week. What do you have on your end there, Bob?
You know, it's getting towards the end of the year now. And typically, uh-huh. And I was talking to Michael Matsuda at the Martial Arts History Museum.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually open Thursday and Friday this week and the following week. Now, the reason I saw him yesterday is because I thought it would be one of the last days of the year that he's going to be open. But
mm-hmm.
this year, it would have been hard to take. He could have taken it either way. His wife wanted him to stay open those 2 days because he's retired. So
right.
Either she feels that there could be business those days, or she's saying, get your ass out of the house.
Right?
Yes. And I think it's the latter, but I'm not willing to tell him that.
Right. We'll let him think it's his decision.
Yes. Yeah, just like she's trying to make it look like it was a decision.
Right. Oh, my goodness. So when are they open again?
They're going to open the 22nd and 23rd.
Okay.
Okay, and the 29th and 30th.
Okay,
so
awesome.
Thursday, Friday this week and Thursday, Friday next week.
Awesome. Okay. Let's see, announcements on my end. I will be in the Burbank, LA area at the end of the month. I'm going to be holding a seminar on the 31st at Balboa Park next to Balboa Sports Complex over by the concession stand. So, now, according to Bob, Balboa Park is huge. And, I'm never really sure about the cross streets and stuff like that that's closest to the area that I'm going to be, because the last time I was there back in August, there were people walking around the whole, like, perimeter of the park trying to find us, you know. So we started kind of late and stuff like that. So what's the cross streets again there, Bob? Closest to the place
Burbank
that we're going to be.
Burbank and Balboa. Burbank Boulevard,
okay.
And Balboa Avenue.
Okay, Burbank Boulevard and Balboa Avenue. So that's kind of like the intersection that's closest to where we're going to be,
right
next to Balboa
now
Sports Complex.
We're going to be west, though, of
west
Balboa.
West of Balboa. All right, but Burbank and Balboa is the closest intersection, because I think because I think the last time I was there, we were telling people some other street or something, so people had to walk clear across the street, I think, or across the park. But if you look for Balboa Sports Complex, look for the side of the building that has the concession stand, and we're going to be, like, right there. I'm going to be going over Chen Tai Chi. We're going to be going over the basics, the 13 fundamentals. Hopefully get as far as we can into a short form and delve into some push hands and applicate. What? What's so freaking funny?
I'm so sorry. I started reading the article that I've got for Weird Entertainment News.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to, oh my God, you're going to have a fit when I read this.
Maybe.
I just looked at that and started laughing my ass off. And I tried to cover my mouth.
Well, it's kind of hard to hide laughter when you got a dedicated mic next to your face.
I know,
but,
right? Yeah.
Right? Well, I can't wait to hear it. But the seminar, again, will be December 31st, starts at 10 a.m. It's probably going to go until 1 or 2. It's going to be a little bit longer than the first one. And everyone that attended last August is welcome to come, as well as their friends, because this particular workshop is going to be geared more toward beginners. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be geared more toward beginners, but that's not to say that it's not for intermediate or advanced practitioners as well, because, as you know, it's always good to work on your basics if you're intermediate or advanced. And it allows, if you're intermediate or advanced, it also allows beginners to be able to watch more experienced people practicing and stuff like that, and to follow along with them. So come on out, 10 to about 2 p.m. or so, Balboa Park, right next to the Balboa Sports, 10 to 2, December 31st. Be there, be square. Start the new year right, folks. Tai Chi is a great exercise that's not just for old people. All right. And we've got somebody on our chat board that named Spark FMO, and they go, "What is happening?" And then they log out. So I have no idea who Spark FMO is, or FM Zero. Spark FM. Oh wait, Spark FM. What is happening? Let me reply. A Spark. What's happening with you? Who are you?
Yeah, and that could be one of those fake ones, because we've had a couple of them that have, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The people that just kind of like troll on Blog Talk Radio and just like type in on every show that's on the air just to look for people to talk.
Right.
We've had people like that.
Yes, we have.
That talk about just weird junk. Anyhow.
Yes.
All right. So that's it for our announcements. I think I don't have any others. So I guess let's get on with the rest of the show. So what do you have on your end? You got weird news, entertainment news. We got notable deaths. We've got like a whole bunch of stuff. So Mike is Bob's.
Okay. So we're going to go to, now you're going to, for me to make my point with this, Russ, you're going to have to listen carefully to this story. It's about Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Okay.
Ben and Jerry's ice cream left a not so sweet aftertaste in one NYC customer's mouth. In fact, she says it gave her some nasty lesions, which is why she's suing. So she's suing Ben and Jerry's.
Because of, wait, let me back up here. So she's suing Ben and Jerry's because of ice cream?
Yes, because she's saying ice cream gave her mouth sores.
Well,
that's what she's claiming.
Okay. I can't wait to hear the rest of this.
The woman, now this is where it gets a little funky, and this is why I almost lost it. The woman says she bought a carton of B&J's coffee, buzz,
okay,
and ended up in the hospital afterwards due to oral discomfort.
Okay. You laughed at that? Oral discomfort. I bet you did.
No, I laughed at B&J's oral discomfort.
Well, see, if the N wasn't there.
And I, yeah, I thank
N
God that
there,
they put an
I would
ampersand
be laughing
in there.
More. It, yeah.
I know, but it was the ampersand that said, well, maybe. But I looked at it and went, oh, this is pretty funny.
She's BJ.
Yes. And complaining about oral discomfort. She says she complained to the company, and according to this is funny too. According to documents, B&J's refunded her $5.50.
Oh, well,
they refunded her $5.50. Are you kidding?
Well,
in the suit, she says she continued. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. Well, I mean, if it gave her mouth sores, then one of two things happened. Either A, she's just really, really sensitive to cold, or B, she's allergic to something and just didn't read the label to see what she was allergic to. Well,
right.
Duh, Anyway.
Exactly. Now, it says here in the suit, she says she continued to have mouth pain for several months and visited several doctors. She visited several doctors, oral surgeon, and allergists attempting to get relief, but never did. Finally, in December 2015, she says she had surgery to remove large white tissue from her mouth. The woman, who's repped by attorney Sachin Gandhi, believes the buzz was a bad hazard. that caused her sores. She wants at least $500,000 in damages. TMZ tried to contact Ben and Jerry's, but no word was heard back. I would have, if that's true and that ice cream did cause it and I wasn't allergic, nothing like that, I would be suing for a hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd be interested in knowing what ingredients were in Buzz, or whatever the hell it
right.
was called, yeah, because I'd be like, oh no, I mean, I mean, if there's something like acidic or poisonous in it or something like that, or has like an ungodly amount of caffeine or whatever, then yeah, I'd be suing too, but who knows? I mean, I don't know. It just we live in a sue happy society nowadays, so it's kind of hard.
Do.
It's kind of hard to kind of take it for a grain of salt sometimes, but because like the other day I was following a discussion about something along the lines of that elderly lady that sued McDonald's, and people were like, well, that lady is stupid. How dare she sue someone for being stupid and spilling it in her lap? Well, people were getting the story wrong. It wasn't that she was driving and she spilled it in her lap on purpose. She wasn't even driving, and people were just calling her stupid and thinking that, a lot of people think that people will sue just for gold digging and stuff like that. And it's really hard to say, whether or not someone's lawsuit is legitimate or not, but I don't know, but I'd be suing too.
Right.
If there was something proven to be in that ice cream that could be hazardous, I'd be like, you better get that crap off of the market. So.
Exactly. Right.
Anyhow. All right. What else do we got there, buddy?
That was it for that one, for that story.
Oh,
you want
okay,
me to go right
cool.
into notable deaths?
Yeah, let's go into notable deaths. It's been a crazy year for everybody, and we've lost a lot of great people, martial arts masters and celebrities and stuff. So who do we have for notable deaths this year?
Okay, January. Some you've heard of, some you haven't. January. This first one looked the same. When in 1970s, when he was on Barney Miller, as he did the day he died. January,
oh, wow.
We lost Abe Vigoda.
Oh, right.
He was like 93. He looked the same. He was 50s when he started doing Barney Miller, and he never changed.
Wow.
Glenn Frey from the Eagles. Now, this is a funny one. We lost Dan Haggerty in January. Now, he went to my high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how he had that big old beard when he did Gentle Ben?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, he goes into a local restaurant right here about a half mile from where I live on Hollywood Way, and you ordered a Harbor Light. A Harbor Light, I should have looked it up first, but a Harbor Light was one of those drinks that you lit on fire, right?
Oh, uh-huh.
He caught his beard on fire about 30 years ago and fried his face.
Oh, my gosh.
Just went up in smoke.
That sucks.
We lost January. We also lost Alan Rickman from the Harry Potter movies. We lost David Bowie in January.
Right.
And here's an oldie. We lost Pat Harrington from One Day at a Time.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Now,
okay.
In February, we lost old-time actor George Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
George Gaines from the Police Academy movies and from the TV series Punky Brewster. We lost Maurice White, one of the founders of Electric
Earth,
Light
Wind
Orchestra.
And Fire. No, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I thought it was ELO. Was it Earth,
no,
Wind, and Fire?
No, Maurice
I thought it was
White,
ELO.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, yeah.
Then I read that wrong.
Earth,
I think
Wind,
I read
Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire and then typed ELO.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
March. We lost Patty Duke, Gary Shandling, Frank Sinatra Jr., Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and Nancy Reagan.
Right.
In April, we lost Prince, World Wrestling Federation's wrestler of China, and Merle Haggard. In May, we lost the lead actor from Mr. Ed, Wilbur. We lost Alan Young. And also from the Patty Duke show, we lost William Shallow. Must have been about 100. He was up there. He was so much joke.
Oh.
We lost Muhammad Ali. In July, we lost Gary Marshall. And I think some of these months are off from the website I got these from. In August, we lost Gene Wilder.
Oh, don't forget Kimbo Slice we lost in June also. The MMA.
Now, who's that?
He's like the big bearded African American guy that got into mixed martial arts, but he was best known for his YouTube series where he would challenge people and $100 to let him punch them in the gut or in the leg or something like that. So, anyway, go ahead.
Very cool. Well, in August, we lost Kenny Baker. Kenny Baker was the little person who was R2-D2 in the Star Wars movie.
Oh, right.
Now, I had to die because he was doing a Xarelto commercial with a race car driver, and I forget who else. Oh, a comedian. But Arnold Palmer. In September, we lost Hugh O'Brien in September. Nobody in October, but November, we lost. And this is where it gets funny. These, I think, are off. Because I think these were two of them, I think, were December. Fidel Castro.
Right.
Florence Henderson. Robert Vaughn. And Janet Reno, the Attorney General.
I think Castro passed like late November, and then the news was like
early December.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me look here real quick.
It was I'm almost positive Florence Henderson was December.
Let me look here, Fidel Castro. Yeah, November 25th. He died like late.
Wow, I didn't think that. Look
up Florence Henderson.
I thought she died in December.
Let me look up here. Florence Henderson. November 24th.
Wow. I'm really behind the times. This one in December actually died here in Burbank. He was playing hockey with his 19-year-old son at Pickwick Ice Rink, and then they rushed him to the hospital. He had a heart attack. TV icon Alan Dick.
Mm-hmm.
With Senator and John Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Greg Lake, Alzheimer's and Lake and Palmer.
Oh, okay.
And
wow.
Those are notable that people may have heard of or may not have. And some of them, of course, like Barney, shows my age.
Now, is your headset battery, like, full on? Because you're sounding like you're just getting outside of Wi-Fi.
No, it's fully charged. I just took it off the charger, in fact.
Oh, weird. Then what's going on
here
on this side? That is weird. Anyhow. Okay, well, why don't we do... Oh, wait, I've got one more. We've got a little bit of health news here. I gotta find it now. What did I do? Okay, health news. Here we go. All right. So, this particular news article is related to the weather all across the country. It's cold in a lot of places. Like, you know, I read somewhere today that somewhere in the United States it's -4. I think Mikaela Armstrong posted something about it being like -4 somewhere in his area of the woods or whatever. But this is advice on how to stay safe when it's dangerously cold outside. Now, during cold weather like this, falls on icy or snowy sidewalks and walkways are a big thing. So, number one, what you want to do is, quote unquote, walk like a penguin, because the number one winter injury that's seen in ERs all across the country is falling on ice. So you've got wrist fractures, shoulder injuries, back pain, head trauma, all from losing balance and falling on the ground. So what you want to do is you want to keep an eye out for black ice hidden under patches of snow and be ready for a fall. I don't know how they expect us to do that if you can't see through snow. But one of the big tips that experts make is get your hands out your pockets. Get them out of your pockets. Use your arms for balance. And if you do fall, as hard as it might be, try to relax and not land on one outstretched arm or on your wrist. So you kind of want to walk like a penguin. Walk slow, feet shoulders distance apart, and take small waddle steps. That keeps your center of gravity over your front leg. Now, I kind of have to, not disagree, but I kind of want to correct this a little bit. When you waddle, instead of looking at front leg, this is just my thing because I'm a Tai Chi instructor, right? What you want to do is when you walk, whether you waddle, okay, you always want to make sure you shift your center of gravity completely onto one foot before you attempt to take a step with the other. The biggest mistake that people make, not only in Tai Chi, but on walking on snow, is that they'll halfway put their weight on one foot and then tend to push off in order to put their weight on the front foot. And that's where you slip. So walk slowly, shift your weight, be mindful of where your center of gravity is. And we're going to be going over that at my seminar on the 31st, how to effectively shift your weight. All right, number two, wear good boots. Canadian researchers recently found that 90% of winter boots failed a walking on ice test. The boots that earn the highest marks for being slip resistant have special outsole materials designed to provide better traction. You can rate how your winter boots fared at ratemytreads.com. That's ratemytreads, TREADS.com. And, you know, I went to Payless Shoe Source the other day because I was looking for some hiking boots. And I noticed that a lot of the quote-unquote winter boots, I'm doing air quotes here, are primarily for fashion. I mean, they have fur bits on them and stuff like that. But my God, who wears winter boots that have 2-inch heels? Really? In the ice and snow? Come on, ladies. Come on. Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I know, right? You know, I don't care what a winter boot looks like. If it's warm, if it's got low soles and I know it can grip the ground, then I'm getting them. All right.
Well, you know, it was funny last night. My niece was wearing flats. She was wearing like bedazzled The whole theme of the wedding was Disney. That's what they're in Disney characters. In fact, they're going to Disney World for the honeymoon. Now, she's wearing bedazzled tennis. And she got her flower same shoes. Because in flat feet, my niece is 5'11". Her now husband, 5'8". Can you imagine?
Say that again because you cut out. What?
Could you imagine bringing any kind of heels when they were getting married?
Is that really a thing? Do you guys really like? Do you guys really like trip out when ladies are taller than them? I just need to know that. So, you know.
We would have been making fun of him all night. Now, and that would have been funny in itself. But I went to him and I said, you know, I'm not just needed for marrying Tammy, but you into my crazy ass family. So you married me, you married Bill, you married her whole family, and you're stuck. And she says, he says, you haven't met my sister yet. She's nuts. I said, I'm going to step up my game. I can't be outdone there.
Right. All right. Number three, I think, is frostnip. That's what happens before frostbite. It's that tingling feeling that hurts. It's your body's warning sign that you have to warm up that body part now. When that cold part goes numb, you've got frostbite. And that's a medical emergency. And most people forget about the tips of their ears. So when you wear those hats, folks, make sure you cover your ears or get those earmuffs and put your hat over them. Okay, number four, pay attention to shivering. Shivering is your body's sign that your body temperature is dropping. You're not in medical danger yet, but you're heading toward hypothermia, which is that dangerously low body temperature. And that's something to worry about. Now, if you're still in the cold environment, these are four signs that you've crossed into moderate or severe hyperthermia. Number one, you're experiencing clumsiness or confusion. Number two, you feel drowsy. And number three, your shivering gets worse or even stops altogether. In that case, get out of the cold immediately and seek a warm place. Get out of wet clothes and bundle up in warm blankets. Number five, the hat myth. That myth of wearing a hat. Wearing a hat is good. It keeps you warm. But you do not lose most of your body heat from your head. You remember that myth? Where, you lose like 80% of your body heat through your head. You remember that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the heat you lose from an uncovered head is no different from the heat you would lose from an uncovered arm or an uncovered leg. The myth started after an army study from the 1950s found that soldiers who were bundled up except for their head lost most of their body heat from their head. Well, yeah, of course, because all the other places are covered up, right?
Today,
more than 60 years later, we know that if they had been bundled up except for their legs, they would have lost most of their body heat through their legs. So that's why it's important to wear a hat and long pants when it's cold. Leave the shorts for spring. Now, you know, I work for a school, and every day I supervise recess for the kids. And every day when we line up lately, we line up and I'll go, do you have a coat? Do you have a coat? Do you have a coat? No, I didn't bring a coat. You know, Timmy, you knew we were going up for recess. Why don't you have a coat? Oh, I don't feel the cold. Meanwhile, Timmy's wearing shorts and a T-shirt. So we go out and he's got his like hands like inside his shirt, you know, inside the torso part of his shirt. And you could see all the little fine hairs on his legs standing up on end. Timmy, are you cold? No, I don't get cold. I'm like, you're lying. I said, do I have to send you back? Because if you get hyperthermia out here, that's your doing. Oh, I don't get cold. I don't feel the cold. You know, and these kids are proud of going outside in shorts and a T-shirt, you know, in 28-degree weather. And I'm like, y'all are crazy. Were you like that as a kid? Kid Bob, you know, I don't feel the cold. I'm not going to wear a hood because it ain't cool. Well, that was me. I'm not going to wear a hood because it ain't cool. But now I really don't care. I will bundle up like the Michelin man. I will look like the Michelin Man as long as I don't get cold.
Right.
Oh, all right. So that's it for my health news. And unless you have anything else, Bob, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. Do you have anything else on your end?
Go ahead. Nope.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. Remember, our phone number is 347-677-0699. It's open mic day here at the Dynamic Dojo until 1 p.m. So go ahead and give us a call. I'm thinking of also doing a Facebook Live right after this, just for shits and giggles, you know, so that way we can actually get to more people and stuff like that that couldn't listen live. But I don't know. We'll see. But give us a call if you want to join the open mic. Let's talk about how you celebrate the holidays. Let's talk about how they celebrate the holidays, the winter holidays, all around the world. So we'll be right back after this. Don't go away.
High school is a time for figuring things out, like finding the square root of X when your ex won't stop texting you, or how to write an essay on Twelfth Night the night before it's due. It's about making friends and making memories. It's about deciding where you fit, where you stand, and what you simply won't stand for. Long after class is dismissed, after you've left the halls and moved on with life, after you've forgotten all the answers to all the tests, you'll remember the day you figured out the kind of person you were gonna be. Stand up for someone being bullied, and they'll never forget you.
Stand up to bullying.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Heart Truth is a campaign sponsored by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute to raise awareness about heart health. One thing that everyone can do to support heart health is to get moving. Health and fitness expert Dr. Pamela Peake says that small steps can lead to big benefits.
Throughout the day, just get up and move more. Park your car in the farthest parking spot. Find any excuse to walk as you live your busy life. The key to heart health is regular physical activity and a balanced diet. I help get my patients educated and motivated to stay active every single day. That's why I'm behind the Heart Truth campaign and those who partnered with it, like Diet Coke. Join them this month as they work to educate, inspire, and motivate by visiting DietCoke.com/HeartTruth.
Inside this little Burbank building.
This is the first museum in the world dedicated to martial arts.
It really reflects on the style and the philosophy of each and every different culture.
White eyebrow kung fu, monkey kung fu, the animal styles, Shaolin.
Talking about the ninja here.
Japan had the samurai.
Here we go into our Korean section.
In fact, every corner of Asia and the Pacific has its own martial art.
It'll be an absolute shame if one day you ask a kid and he doesn't know who Bruce Lee is.
From the history of the Japanese samurai to the artistry of anime, enjoy a look into Asian culture by visiting the Martial Arts History Museum in Burbank.
Hi, this is Frank Dukes.
This is T. Joe Douglas Wong.
Hi, this is Kumu Lua, Michelle Manu, and you're listening to Rosita and Bob on the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show.
The only place to be to get the real scoop on the real things that are going on in the martial arts world.
Do you have an idea for a guest or a topic that you'd like to hear on the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show? If you do, you can email your suggestions and ideas to dynamicdojoradiohost@gmail.com, or you can also post it on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page.
You're listening to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Restita and Robert, your source for martial arts talk radio.
All right, and we are back. This is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Rosita and Robert. Our phone number here is 347 677 1-800-878-0699. And it is our holiday season episode. So it's open mic, as we normally do every year. So you can call in and talk about anything you want, holiday related or not, doesn't matter. But we would like to know how you're going to be celebrating your holidays this year. So give us a call, 347-677-0699. All right, so what are you doing this year, Bob, for Christmas? I'm kind of bummed that I couldn't be there for Christmas. But, you know, it would have been an $800 flight if I would have come Christmas Eve.
not much. You know, my daughter's home for about a month from UCLA. My son and granddaughter and his girlfriend will probably be coming over. For the last 2 years, we used to meet at my brother's house on Christmas Eve. But for like the last 3 years, we've been meeting at Olive Garden.
Oh, that's not bad.
We're actually meeting at Outback Steakhouse this coming up Saturday.
Oh, you can't go wrong with that. I love, you know, Olive Garden. You know, a lot of people go, that ain't real Italian food. But, you know, there's something about their breadsticks and their Alfredo sauce.
Oh, yeah. And my favorite is a Toscani soup. That is my
absolute favorite.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that's pretty good. You know, but now I get to go and have a blooming onion. Oh, there you go. You get to have a blooming onion onion and a big, thick steak. That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yes.
I'm going to be spending time with the extended family, my cousins and aunties. We're going to make the rounds, pretty much the same thing that I did for Thanksgiving. And it's, you know, it's been a kind of a bittersweet holiday, you know, since it's the first set of holidays since my mom passed. And, you know, it's just not the same. You could tell that it wasn't the same because the same food wasn't, you know, there and stuff like that. And my mom's laugh and my mom ordering people around and stuff like that. So it's like, it was kind of weird on Thanksgiving, but you know, it's great in the sense that my cousins and I are really starting to reconnect because, you know, we've all been pretty busy and we just kind of keep touch on Facebook and stuff like that, but we never really saw each other. But now it's time to reconnect and really come together because we have to start thinking about all my other aunties because, gosh, not even a month after my mom passed, my eldest auntie had a stroke. So that's when we all pulled together and went, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We got to find a place for her to stay that is, you know, accessible for her because, you know, now technically she's sort of disabled, right? So it's kind of like we all had to pull together and that was really cool. So this year was cool in that sense that the rest of the family really reconnected and pulled together. So it's very cool. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But we want to hear from our listeners, you know, tell us what you're going to be doing. Tell us how you celebrate the holidays at your dojo or at your home and stuff like that. But in the meantime, you know, we had Steve Lilligan actually call at the beginning of the show and he hung up. So, you know, Steve, if you want to join the party, feel free to call in again. Okay. But what we're going to do in the meantime, even if there isn't anyone that calls, we're going to discuss a little bit about how Christmas is celebrated around the world. I shouldn't say just Christmas, but, you know, all the winter holidays. So I'm going to roll the wheel here, and I'm going to start, and then I'll have Sifu Bob pick a country. And rolling. We are in Indonesia. Let's see what Indonesia says. Okay, it says that although most people in Indonesia, about 85% are Muslims, about 10% of the population are Christians. And that's still about 20 million people. Indonesian Christians love to celebrate Christmas. Indonesian Christians usually go to church services on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. In most churches and cathedrals, people create nativity scenes and use them as part of the nativity drama performance. Christmas trees in Indonesia are normally artificial ones. You think there are no Christmas trees in Indonesia?
Right.
although less common, some people have real pine trees to be decorated as Christmas trees. The biggest producer of quote-unquote real trees is located in Puncak, West Java. Another special type of Christmas trees are ones made from, get this, chicken feathers. Chicken feathers made by people in their homes on Bali Island. These feather trees have been exported to different countries around the world. In early December, huge Christmas trees with beautiful and colorful decorations can be found in most shopping centers in big cities all over the country. In 2011, there was also a huge Christmas tree made of edible chocolate, created by professional Indonesian chocolatiers. Now, popular Christmas carols in Indonesia include Malam Kudus, an Indonesian version of O Holy Night, and Malam Kudus, an Indonesian version of Silent Night. These songs are usually sung on Christmas Eve in churches by a choir during the candlelight service when people think about the Christmas story. Let's see. Cookies are a must-have food during Christmas in Indonesia. Some popular types of cookies include nastar, a butter cookie with pineapple jam filling. Oh my God, that sounds so good. That sounds awesome. There's also cheese cookies called kastengel and putri salju, or snow white cookies, a butter cookie covered with powdered sugar and cheese. In Indonesia, happy Merry Christmas is Selamat Natal. Just so everyone knows, here's how we say Merry Christmas in a bunch of other languages. Let's see. Name a country. Name a language, Bob. Let's see if I can find it for you.
Germany.
Germany. Germany, Germany. Oh, does this mean I got to, like, do the control find? Germany. Oh, it's, I can't even say it. Frohe Weihnachten. Did I say that right, German people? So how Weihnachten?
I don't know. Let's ask Lady, because she speaks fluent German.
All right. All right. I don't know. Text her. How do you have her send a soundbite on how to say Merry Christmas in German? How about in Mandarin? Shengdang Kuaile. I know how to say that. But in Cantonese, it's Sing Dong Fai Lo. So there you go. How about another country?
Russian.
Russian. Oh, Lord.
he's like going, shut up. I'm never going to ask you again.
This is Siak. Leva Varastistva. I don't know how to say it.
I got one for you.
I typed in England and it just says English. Merry Christmas. In the Philippines, we say Maligayang Pasko. Maligayang Pasko. How about in Japanese? It's kind of funny because, you know, in Japanese, a lot of words really don't, like in this case, in Japanese, Christmas doesn't have its own word. So a lot of times Japanese people will do what I call Japanize English words. So like, you know, elevator. I don't think they have a dedicated word for elevator. So they actually spell it as Irabita. So, you know, R-E-R-I-B-E-E-T-A. Irabita. Because that's how they say it, right? So in Japanese, Merry Christmas is Meri Kurismasu. Merry Christmas. So that's how you say Merry Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Christmas.
That was Americanizing Japanese.
Yeah, Christmas. That's how they would say it, right? So there we go. And in Korean, it's the same thing. It's Merry Christmas. Or I don't even know how to say this because I don't speak Korean, but I'm just going to do this phonetically. 즐거운 Christmas 되세요. So I completely butchered that. I know. So I got to apologize to all my
completely.
Korean friends. Yeah.
How about Italian?
Yeah. Hey, great minds think alike. Italian. Buon
yep.
Natal. Buon Natal. So there we go. Let's see. In Latin, Felicem Diem Nativitatis. Nativitatis. There we go. let's see. In Malaysia, Selamat Hari Natal. Let's see here. What else? New Zealand in Maori, Merry Kiri Himete. There we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Philippines. Now, I already said Tagalog. It's Maligayang Pasko. In Ilocano,
uh-huh.
which is my dad's dialect, it's Naragsak na Pasqua. In Bicol. In Bicol, Maugmang Pasko. And and in Pangasinan, my mom's dialect, maabig ya Pasko. Or how about what?
How about French?
French. Let's look that up. Joyeux Noël. Joyeux. Joy. Is it
sounds
joyeux?
Like that'll still be joy.
Joyeux Noël. Did I say that? French people,
Could come on,
call in. If y'all speak a different language, call in and let us know how you say Merry Christmas. So anyway, all right, let's go to another country here and see how they celebrate. So let's go to Italy. Why not? All right. One of the most important ways of celebrating Christmas in Italy is the nativity crib scene. Using a crib to tell the Christmas story was made very popular by St. Francis of Assisi in 1223. The previous year, he had visited Bethlehem, and he saw where the stable was, where it was thought Jesus was born. A lot of Italian families have a nativity scene in their homes. The city of Naples is world famous for its crib making. These are known as presepe napoletano, meaning the Neapolitan cribs. The first crib scene in Naples is thought to go back to 1025 and was in the church of St. Maria de Presepe, this was even before St. Francis of Assisi had made cribs very popular. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. One special thing about Neapolitan cribs is that they have always displayed not only characters and figurines from the Christmas story, but also everyday people and objects such as waterfalls, food, animals, and even figures of famous people and politicians. Naples is also home to the largest crib scene in the world, which has over 600 objects. So there we go. On Christmas Eve, it is common to eat no meat. Often a light seafood meal is eaten, and then people go to the midnight mass. Types of fish and how they are served vary between different regions in Italy. People return from mass. If it's cold, you might have a slice of Italian Christmas cake called panettone, which is like a dry, fruity sponge cake and a cup of hot chocolate. There we go. Pretty cool. You get to pick a country now.
Well, I want to bring up laziness right now.
Laziness?
Okay, laziness.
Okay.
My daughter went for a trial to become a nanny the other day, and she really doesn't like kids anyway. So they test her over on some of their cars. Because this guy's like a multi-billionaire.
Uh-huh.
So she drove a Tesla and she drove an Audi the other day. she gets paid in cash. She gets paid $80. So I see her going out the door just now, and I said, where are you going? She says, I'm going to go get my lunch. Okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't, you know the shopping center right up the street from me? It has a Carl's and Subway and a Popeyes.
She
orders her lunch from Uber Eats instead of walking her ass to go get her food. She's having it delivered.
So what did she do? Walk outside to meet the Uber guy?
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. It's two blocks away.
Right.
It's
not even that.
It's like a block and a half, but it's a long block, you know, after we get to the end of your block. It's kind of a long block. It's kind of like halfway in the middle of the block, I think. I mean, when you used to go to work, I used to go, oh, I'm going to go get breakfast. And I would just walk over there and go to Starbucks or wherever, right? And it was not that bad. What, 3 minutes to get there, if I'm walking slow.
Right.
Come on.
Exactly.
People, come on. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Pick a country, bud.
So, what do you want me to do? Pick a country. Okay. India.
India, nice one. Let's go to India. Do, 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 do. Okay, compared to other religious festivals, Christmas is quite a small festival in India. Due to the number of people who are Christians, there's only about 2.3% of the population compared to people who belong to other religions. Having said this, the population of India is over 1 billion. So if we take that into consideration, there are over 25 million Christians in India. Now, one of the largest Christian communities in India is in the city of Mumbai. A lot of the Christians in Mumbai are Roman Catholics. In India's smallest state, Goa, which is on the west of India, about 26% are Christians. Many of the Christians in Mumbai come from or have roots in Goa, the states of Manipur, Meghalaya, Nagaland, and Mizoram, all on the very east of India, have high populations of Christians as well. Midnight Mass is a very important service for these Christians in India, especially the Catholics. The whole family will walk to the Mass, and this will be followed by a massive feast of different delicacies, mostly curries. I am hungry now. and the giving and receiving of presents. Churches in India are decorated with poinsettia flowers and candles for the Christmas Eve Mass service. Now, many different languages are spoken in India. In Hindi, Merry Christmas is Subha Christmas. Urdu, it's Christmas Mubarak. In Sanskrit, it's Christmasasya Subka Amanya. I said that completely wrong. And Gujarati, it's Anandi Natal or Kushi Natal. In Bengali, it's Subha Borodin. In Tamil, Kirstumas Vaitukal. I butchered that too. In Konkani, it's Kushal Borit Natala. And in Kannada, it's Christmas Habada Shabaashayagalu. Wow. Pretty cool. Now, instead of having traditional Christmas trees, a banana or mango tree is decorated, or whatever tree people can find to decorate. And sometimes people use mango leaves to decorate their homes. In southern India, Christians often put small oil-burning clay lamps on the flat roofs of their homes to show their neighbors that Jesus is light of the world. Christians in Goa love to celebrate Christmas. Goa has a lot of Western customs as part of their Christmas, as Goa has historical connections with Portugal. Most Christians in Goa are Catholic. People like to go carol singing around the neighborhood about a week before Christmas. Christmas trees are also very popular, as it is a quote-unquote traditional rich. Let's see. I read that wrong. Oh, Christmas trees are also very popular, as is traditional rich fruit Christmas cakes. A lot of local sweets are eaten at Christmas in Goa. Favorite sweets include nurios, which are small pastries which are stuffed with dry fruit, coconut, and fried. You know, Rose Jimenez, you need to call us. Let's talk about food. Rose is my foodie friend. Also another host here on the Seika Network. And then there's Dodols, which is toffee with coconut and cashews in it. There are other sweets that are often part of the Kansuwada. People make sweets before Christmas and give them to their friends and neighbors. So, wow. You know, as we see kind of a common theme here, that being with family and food is a very important part of the holidays all around the world during the winter. So very cool. Let me check the phone lines here. Oh, nobody's here. Watch. If we go on Facebook Live right after this, you know everyone's going to be there.
I know, right?
Right? So we'll see how that works. All right. Let's see here. Now, do you have any funny stories that you've done for that have happened over the years during Christmas? I have one. But do you have any funny stories?
Oh, let's hear yours. I don't think I have any, but let's hear yours.
Okay, this was like, I don't know, it was kind of like in the early 90s or mid-90s, I forget. And I was living in a house with my roommate and her girlfriend and a couple other friends. And we were all sitting around, and this was, you know, way back in the days when we drank a lot. So I forgot what we were drinking. In fact, I think there was a little bit of weed involved. I don't remember. But I do know I kind of did both. And we were decking the tree. We were decorating the tree. And I was going to, like, try to get all the lights put together and strung together where, you know, you have to take one set of lights and plug them into the plug of the other set or whatever. Well, I was having a bear of a time plugging these sets of lights together. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Well, anyway, 5 minutes go by, and my friends all started laughing hysterically, and I'm all like, what? Now, keep in mind, I was, like, pretty lit, right? Turns out, I was trying to plug together two female ends of the plug.
Nice.
Meanwhile,
every time I've tried to plug in two females, I've always had problems.
Well, yeah, you know, and you'll almost always get slapped for wanting to see that. But anyway,
yes, that was my problem.
Yeah, that's your problem, but. My friends, my roommates, we were doing like completely traditional outside of the lights, right? So we were going to string popcorn to be garlands and stuff. So anyway, ladies are stringing popcorn garlands. I'm like, this was after they caught me trying to plug two female ends of the lights together. So I'm like, man, what's taking you so long? The lights are up. Well, what they did is they were stringing popcorn, but they forgot to tie a knot on the end of the thread. So they were just, like, pushing everything down off onto the floor.
Well, you guys were fun when you drank.
I'm like, and you're calling me stupid? Really? Look at all this shit on the floor. The dogs absolutely loved it. They absolutely loved it.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Oh my gosh, that you know, that was one Christmas I will never forget. And then, of course, you know, the cat decided to, like, climb the tree and stuff like that. Didn't knock it over, but we thought the tree was gonna launch that cat, because the cat was, like, right on top of the tree and it started to bow over, right? And I thought, oh, all it takes is for her to step on the wrong branch. It's going to launch her right across the house. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, stringing popcorn all over the floor and plugging two female ends of Christmas lights. That's just awesome. So we want to hear from you guys. Let's hear some funny stories, you guys. So give us a call, 347-677-0699. And if you know what, Bob, if we don't hear from anyone in the next 10 minutes, you know, let's go ahead and, like, end the audio show, and we'll go on Facebook Live. How does that sound?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I need to. It's going to take me a while to set up speakers and stuff like that because I'm going to have to put you on like Facebook call again, and I don't have a stand, so we can't really have you on video. But we'll kind of check what that happens. So anyway, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We're also going to be on Facebook Live here. If no one calls in within the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'm beginning to wonder whether or not we should just end and go to Facebook Live because it's funner that way. Maybe we should do that. So you know what, folks? What we're going to do is we are going to sign off from this particular broadcast, audio broadcast, and we are going to go on Facebook Live. So we're going to go ahead and end. Check us in about 15 minutes. I'll put an announcement up, and we'll see everyone on Facebook Live. So Merry Christmas. We'll see you guys on Facebook. Bye-bye now.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!